Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us over on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the show on a one-time basis using the Zelle app. Thank you to Carl and Joel for supporting the podcast that way. And you can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it is time for this week's episode of The Man Called X. And we do have a bit of a gap here of 3 episodes between last week's show and this week's. This will be the last one in the series, though. The original air date on this one is April the 15th, 1952, and the title is Sicilian Farmland.
Listen to Herbert Marshall as The Man Called X. Wherever there is mystery, adventure, intrigue, in all the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find The Man Called X. It's the largest island in the Mediterranean. It guards the gateway to Turkey, Greece, Suez, the Middle East. We saved it from one enemy during World War II. We may be losing it to another in the Cold War of today. The name of the island? Sicily. In the small village of Arezzi, Sicily, a country fair is being held. A lad of 16 stands in the throng surrounding one of the prize attractions, and then steps forward toward the proud, beaming exhibitor.
Buongiorno, signor.
Buongiorno, my young friend. Is there something I can do for you today?
There is, signor. You have something for sale that I wish to buy.
Ah, si. Undoubtedly, you are a wealthy landowner for somewhere about who wishes to purchase farming equipment for your large estates, eh?
No, signor. But I am interested in something here. I wish to purchase that tractor.
Ah, the farm tractor. It is no wonder you are interested in that, my lad. It is the only one of its kind ever to be brought here. It cannot be duplicated this side of Palermo. Look at it, my friend. A rugged giant of a machine that will do the work of 50 horses on your farm.
Senor, we are wasting time.
Please be quiet, young one. See, my friends, this marvelous machine was constructed in the United States of America. And I guarantee that it's not only...
I said that we are but wasting time. I have already told you I wish to purchase the tractor.
So, you wish to purchase it, do you? And what of the lire it will require to make such a purchase?
That is unimportant, senor. That tractor will mean salvation for hundreds of people.
Salvation? What nonsense is this? The tractor is priced at $2,500. Now, either you let me see your money or get out of here.
I have here, senor, enough lira for $273. I ask that you accept them in partial payment for the tractor.
Partial payment?
Next fall, when our harvest is in, we shall pay the remainder.
Why, you little...
Surely you cannot refuse. Not when the very life of our village...
Get out, you! Waste of my time, will you? Talk nonsense about salvation, will you? Well, I shall give you a lesson you will long remember. I shall...
All right, let go of the boy.
Do not interfere in something that does not concern you, senor.
I should let go of him.
Si, senor, I will let go. So I can take care of you.
Not that way, my friend. Oh!
Thank you, senor. It was a great favor. Someday Alberto will repay you.
Well, why not do it now, Alberto?
How, senor?
Satisfy my curiosity. I'd like to know the connection between a $2,500 tractor and salvation.
You see, senor, I was sent here to the fair by the people of my village, the village of Ciento.
Ciento? A small farm community, isn't it? Some 75 kilometers north of here?
Si. Yeah. And without that tractor, Argento would be a dead village within a year.
How does that figure?
Our land is rough and barren, senor. Our farming equipment is crude and old. And most of our young men have gone to the cities for work.
But you only have $273.
It was all the money my people could raise. The women even sold their wedding rings.
Well, didn't you know it wouldn't be enough?
All I know is that my village cannot be allowed to die.
Yes. I think you're right.
So, you have returned to Chento, Alberto. And you bring a note tractor with you.
That is true, mia nona. But I have brought this gentleman to visit. He is Senor Ken Thurston. Senor Thurston, my grandmother, Senora Asunta.
I'm honored, Senora Asunta.
I'm very you welcome, senor. Alberto, go into the house and fetch some wine. And perhaps some biscuits may be found for our guests.
See, mia nona, at once.
You must be very proud of your grandson, Signora.
See, he is a wonderful lad, Alberto. A dreamer, thinker, even a prophet in his way.
Prophet?
See, Signor. That is why the villagers sent him to Arecce when he had his dream.
Oh? What dream is there?
Of a resurrection, Signor. A new life to come to Cento. To be brought here by the presence of a tractor.
I see. What about the troubles of the village, Signora?
They are not difficult to understand, Signor. First the Fasciste, then the war. Afterwards, poverty, hunger.
Yes.
Is it any wonder that our young people's minds are filled with thoughts of revolution and violence? That they no longer look toward Rome for help, but toward Moscow.
And the same is true in much of Sicily, senor. That is why we must have the tractor. To prove that we can help ourselves. Bring back prosperity to our lands and people.
I can't argue with that, Alberto.
It's all, senor Asunta. I say that our child prodigy has returned. And without the promised tractor, huh?
And if he has, senor Savelli?
Then perhaps your villagers will listen to me. Now, rather than this infant prophet of yours. Are you willing to sell your lands to me now?
Sell them? At the price you wish to pay, we would be giving them away.
Call it what you will, senora. At least I offer you something. But you will have to decide quickly. Once the planting season is over, I will no longer be interested. You have my offer? It will remain open until Easter Sunday.
Well, sounds like he's trying to buy up farming land around here for practically nothing.
Yes, senor. So far, most of the villagers will not sell to him because of Alberto's dream about the tractor. But if we cannot give him the means to make something of the lands...
I don't think you have to worry about that anymore, senora. I've a hunch that Alberto's prophecy is going to come true. That's right, Chief. We've got ECA funds earmarked for farm machinery.
Well, sure, but not for individual purchases like that. When I think of all the red tape involved...
Ah, Chief, it's not red tape we have to worry about in Sicily.
But what do you want me to do?
Pagan Zellschmidt was hanging around the ECA offices in Palermo. Have him pick up a requisition order and bring it to me at the village fair in Arezzi.
Well, all right, Ken. I only hope you know what you're doing.
Chief, all I know is that a hungry people get desperate. And desperate people are capable of anything. Even of taking swords that have been beaten into plowshares and beating them back into swords again.
You sent for me, Senor Savelli?
Si, Giuliano, si. I have work for you.
You will pay me for it in silver?
In silver, Giuliano.
Ah, bon. What is it you wish me to do?
Listen carefully. An Americano by the name of Signor Thurston has just left Cento.
Signor Thurston?
Si, si. I think that he intends to purchase a tractor for the village. And the two of us, my friend, we are going to take any measure that might be necessary to see that he does not succeed.
In just a moment, we will return to The Man Called X. The United Negro College Fund, by aiding 32 private colleges and universities, helps deserving young Americans to become teachers, doctors, social workers, who help to bring about interracial harmony wherever they serve. Now, you can share in this constructive work by contributing generously to the 1952 campaign of the United Negro College Fund. The address is 22 East 54th Street, New York City. And now, Act Two of The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, with Leon Belasco as Pagan Zellschmidt. It was at a village fair in Sicily that Ken Thurston met the strange and somber lad, Alberto. Alberto, who had a vision of a giant American tractor that would be the symbol of Sicily's future. A tractor that would restore the farmlands to fertility and prove to his people that they could find salvation within themselves and not in the promises of Moscow.
Believe me, Mr. X, for a couple of minutes or two, I was thinking that you forgot all about your oldest and dearest friend.
Where are you, Pagan?
Oh, sure. Giving me the brush out in Palermo. But the chief called me.
And now you're here to render your invaluable services.
Yeah, for a slight consideration, of course. So what are we going to do in this crumbum Arici joint, anyway?
Buy a tractor?
Huh?
Buongiorno, signores. And what can I do for you this fine...
Oh, and what is it you wish this time, signor?
That tractor's still for sale.
Si. For $2,500 American.
I'll take it. Here, the ECA purchase order. The bank here will honor it.
You are a serious, senor. Grazie. Senor, grazie.
Have it serviced and ready to run by tonight. We'll come back to pick it up.
Si, senor. I will have it in my shed over there, all ready for you.
Okay, Pagan, let's go.
But, Mr. Thurston, my cousin...
$2,500 American. Wait until I tell Maria. Wait. The bank. I must get to the bank before it closes.
Your pardon, senor. But... You are the one who has the tractor for sale?
No, not any longer, senor. I have just sold it to the Americano, and now if you...
One more question, please.
See?
That tractor, there are no others like it anywhere around.
Indeed, not, senor. Not any closer than Palermo. But you will excuse me, I have a business at the bank.
Si, I will excuse you, senor. You have been most kind. Most kind indeed.
How do you like that? Chisels you out for $2,500 for a hunk of machinery, and he don't even come out of that shed to deliver it.
There's a light inside. I wonder... Yeah. Come on.
How do you like that? No tractor, no... The joint's empty.
Is it? Look up there. With that rafter.
Oh, Mr. X. Hanging from that rope.
Yeah.
But who did it to him, Mr. X?
Somebody who didn't want that tractor to reach Tiento. Who didn't want a miracle to happen at Easter.
I don't get it, Mr. X. Why did we come down here to the railway stations for?
Because the tractor was driven here.
But it's not here now. Hey, maybe it was loaded on board that train that's pulling out.
No, look here. The lug marks lead right over there. Up that ramp to the boxcar on the siding.
Hey, then maybe it's inside there. Mr. X, come on, let's see. No boxcar, no tractor.
No dream coming true in Chianto.
Arrivederci, signora. Sonda Alberto. I see you in church again Sunday.
Farewell. Yes, see. We shall be in church Easter Sunday. But it will be no day of blessedness for this village. No day of resurrection for Chianto.
You despair too quickly, Mianona. This is only Good Friday. Senor Thurston still has 2 days in which to arrive.
He has had more than enough time to buy the tractor at Arici and drive it here. No, Alberto, like the Fascisti and the others, he but crucifies us on a cross of empty promises.
Oh, but what good does it do for us to go to Palermo, Mr. X? Even if we buy another tractor there, we couldn't drive it to Chianto in time.
That's right, Pagan. So maybe we'll put wings on it and fly it there.
Huh?
Savelli, I have some information I think you want to hear about Senor Thurston.
What are you talking about, Giuliano? Eh?
What would you think if the Senor Thurston drove a tractor into Chianto on this beautiful Easter morning?
Are you crazy, Giuliano? We blew up that tractor.
Si, but we did not blow up the ones in Palermo, Senor.
Palermo?
Si, I saw a cargo plane land about an hour ago, some 20 kilometers from here. A tractor was aboard.
Then what are you doing here, you fool? We've got to stop him.
Senor, to get there, he must drive the tractor over the bridge at Devil's Gorge, si? Si. Si?
Si, that's right, Giuliano. And what about that bridge?
Eh? It has been prepared. Neither Senor Thurston nor the tractor will ever reach the end, huh?
Why do you keep looking down the road toward Ricci, Alberto? You still believe the Americano will keep his word to us?
He will keep his word, Mianona, if the angel of death does not interfere.
The angel of death?
See, in church it came to me, the vision. I saw rushing waters, a dark, brooding sky. There were falling timbers. And over all, the angel of death.
A strange vision indeed, Alberto. What is its meaning?
I do not know as yet, but the vision.
Alberto, what is it?
The bridge. That is it. The bridge at the Devil's Gorge. I must get there, Mianona. I must get there in time.
Some beautiful day, eh, Mr. X? Birds and bees and flowers and stuff. And I bet those people in Chianto will be plenty glad to see us, all right, eh?
Oh, I know they will.
Oh, sure. This tractor will fix them up all hunky-doodly. They'll be able to go to work again and have food again. They'll be singing and dancing in the streets. Oh, come to my home today and speak of my head of hungry. Oh, no.
Hold it, Pagon.
Huh?
Look there, at the road up ahead.
Hey, what's that to look at? Just a bridge crossing and a big hole in the ground. And hey, there's somebody in a buggy on the other side.
Yeah, Alberto.
He's waving at us and calling him stuff. Must be pretty heavy. We're getting there with a tractor, all right, huh?
Suppose we find out, Pagon. Let's get across that bridge.
Go back, senor. The bridge is no safe. Go back before you.
No, they cannot hear me. And they're just about to... Up there.
Up now. Up.
Senor, Easter has come, the church services are over, and no wonderful Americano has brought a tractor to resurrect Gento. Huh?
Come into the house, Senor Savelli. There's nothing I can do now but sell out our land.
No, you should be thankful that I'm willing to give you anything for your worthless soil.
And what about Alberto and the tractor man at Arizzi?
Costa.
I asked you a question, Savelli. Should Alberto and the tractor man be thankful to you, too?
What do you mean, Signor? What about Alberto?
Our friend Savelli here doesn't think much of human lives.
Lives? You mean...
You are most free with your accusations, Signor. Fortunately, you cannot have any proof to back them up.
Giuliano gave us all the proof we need.
Giuliano?
We found him hanging around the bridge, waiting to inspect the job you sent him on.
I've heard enough. Do not move, either one of you. You're a fool, Thurston. I've already taken two lives. I would not hesitate to take two more.
Oh, I knew that, Savelli. All right, Pagon, come in.
What? Pagon?
Here I am, Mr. Thurston. Jiminy, the knives! He's got a gun.
Not for long.
How do you like that? You tell me to go on the porch and wait until you call me. Then I walk right into guns and stuff.
So, Savelli has accused my grandson. My Alberto. I will take his gun and kill him in time. I will.
That's no answer, Signora.
Perhaps.
You'll get justice in the courts.
But who is there to see that Gento receives the justice? And what justice for Alberto, who has had his life taken from him?
I think you're forgetting. This is Easter, Signora Assunta. Forgetting the meaning of the words, miracle, resurrection.
What? What are you saying?
Let's go to the door. Look there, down the road.
Signor, a tractor. And driving it, waving toward us and smiling. It's Alberto. My Alberto.
That's right, Signora.
But I thought Savelli...
Oh, sure, he tried all right. I still don't know how the boy ever lived back there at the bridge.
Why not, Pagan? It isn't the first time that a miracle's happened around Easter.
And now, here is our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. And my thanks to Loreen Tuttle, Will Wright, Alan Reed Jr., Tony Barrett, and Lou Merrill. Next week, A maverick steer, a bottle of germ culture, and a sultry brunette plunged Ken Thurston into a situation that can only mean one thing. Death. That might mean death for you. And for once, there'll be help from Pagon Zellschmidt, otherwise known as Leon Belasco. So join us, won't you, when next I return as the man called X. Good night.
The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, is a J. Richard Kennedy production with music by Milton Charles. Tonight's story was written by Sidney Marshall. This program is directed by Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents on this program are fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. And now, until next week, same time and station, this is Hal Gibney saying goodnight for The Man Called X. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Welcome back. Well, this is interesting because this is an Easter-themed episode. And I think this is the first detective series where we've had an Easter-themed episode. And The Man Called X also gave us the only Washington's birthday-themed episode. Now, some episodes may make reference to Easter, but this is really at the core of it. And other series, you know, Christmas episodes are pretty common, not universal, but pretty common, as, you know, quite a few New Year's episodes, as those who listen to the podcast these last few years know, with us replaying some of those New Year's specials, a few Thanksgiving episodes, even a couple of episodes that were themed around Columbus Day. Easter as this thematic center is really unusual. The story centers on this interesting idea that addressed the concerns about radical movements, particularly those tied to communism, and the fact that those movements would have a really great appeal if people were desperate, if they were not able to support themselves, which made this an important task for the man called X. I do kind of wish that he had kept the grandmother in such uncertainty about the fate of her grandson, but I think it did tie the episode and its overall themes together pretty well. All right, well, listener comments and feedback, and we have a couple of comments from Saysoft over on YouTube regarding episode 3707, The Clicking Buddha. Saysoft writes, "It wasn't just the ending of this show that was far-fetched. In fact, the whole scenario was. To begin with, a small vial of radium placed under the professor's mattress would not have caused him to die in a matter of hours, as was depicted here. The alpha radiation from the radium would have been entirely blocked by the mattress, while the beta and gamma radiation would have been partially blocked. Even if the professor would have been carrying the vial around in his pocket, he wouldn't have suffered any ill effects for at least several days, which would have been in the form of a radiation burn in the area next to where the vial was carried. Long-term exposure to radium, such as what happened to the girl who painted the dials on Ken's watch, would have resulted in radiation sickness and possibly death. But that would have taken years rather than just one night. Also, after having worked with nuclear weaponry for 20 years, I cringe every time I hear the words Geiger counter, because that infers using a device that uses a Geiger-Müller tube as its probe. The more proper term for radiation measurement device is radiac, because certain types of these devices don't use Geiger-Müller tubes." Well, thanks so much for the clarification on that, Saysoft. And then had a more general comment, and this question was, so what exactly what is Pagon's relationship to the Bureau? He's obviously not an official employee, or else Thurston and the Chief wouldn't always try to evade him, and he wouldn't always have to scam Thurston into giving him money. One would think the Bureau would require anyone who enters its office space to have a proper security clearance, which Pagan wouldn't have if he isn't an official employee. I mean, I spent 20 years working a job that required me to have a security clearance, and we had actual security guards to prevent anyone like Pagan from entering our space. I don't know. Maybe that policy began as a result of this program, like an anti-Pagan Zelschmidt or Pagan Zelschmidt prevention security protocols. But I digress. He says, it seems to me that if Thurston and the chief don't want Pagan around, they would just make sure he never gets a security clearance, and that guards would prevent him from entering the building. The chief's secretary would also be required to have a security clearance, which would prevent her from ever giving Pagan any information about where Mr. X might be going and what he'll be up to. If the securities where I used to work had ever gotten this lax, people would have been going to a court-martial and probably would have been serving time in the brig. Well, Cesar, I think that these are all reasonable points, you know, in terms of realism. I think that there was really less of a realistic grasp of these sort of day-to-day procedures. I think there's practically a somewhat fantastical element with the Man Called X, where it's really not about the reality of what happens with U.S. intelligence. Of course, Pagan, as an element of the Man Called X, has been part of the series since its inception back in 1944. So even if other theories were more realistic, and I think that Dangerous Assignment, which is going to be the series that succeeds the Man Called X on this podcast, is going to be a little bit closer to real life. I don't think it's like super intricate in its realism, but it doesn't have this element of a comic relief character who's getting access to buildings. I honestly can't think of a good in-universe explanation for Pagan and his status with the Bureau. There have been some others where I've come up with something. On this one, Saysoft, you've stumped me. You have stumped me totally. Only thing that I think you can point to at all is that Ken seems to have carte blanche. He is the Man Called X, and he gets whatever he wants. And as much as he protests Pagan and often wants to avoid him, he also has used him quite a bit as an asset. So the best reasonable explanation, closest to reasonable, is that Ken Thurston is America's top super spy, and he gets whatever he wants. And despite his protest, he wants Pagan to have access to the facility. He would like more control over that access, but for whatever reason, you know, or particularly access to him, but for whatever reason can't quite finagle it. So this is Ken's idea, and it's not very well thought out. I don't think that there is a production team in the country where I could get away with that. That's the closest to reasonable I can come up with. Thanks so much for the questions and the little bit of reality, Cesar. Definitely appreciate it. I also did find one comment. I'm sorry, don't remember by who, and it was on Facebook, and so it's really hard to search through those. But someone responded to my speculation as to Pagan's American citizenship and made the point that he could have been born here. And I think that was an interesting theory because you do have birthright citizenship in the United States. The way his family is portrayed is they, you know, move in and out between countries and to different jobs and opportunities all the time. So it really is possible that he could have been born while his parents were in the United States for some reason. A good catch on that. All right, well, now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Daniel, Patreon supporter since March of 2020, currently supporting the program at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Again, thanks so much for the support, Daniel. Well, that will actually do it for today. If you are enjoying the podcast, please rate and review it wherever you download your podcast from. Also, I want to encourage you to review the podcast on Podchaser before the end of the month. They have a promotion going on called Reviews for Good. And they'll be Podchaser will be donating 25 cents to World Central Kitchen's Chef for Ukraine effort for every podcast and episode review written on Podchaser in April. And Spreaker, my hosting company, will double that donation. All you've got to do is go to podchaser.com before the end of the month and search for The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. Join us back here next week for another episode of The Man Called X. But coming up tomorrow, we're going to find out what's going on with Philo Vance, where...
About a year and a half ago, I inherited quite a bit of money, and now... I believe I'm going to be murdered.
Murdered, eh? You're rather calm about that, Miss Peyton.
If I am, it's because it doesn't matter greatly to me, Mr. Vance. You see, during the past year, I've had all the happiness anyone could possibly ask for. What happens to me now isn't terribly important.
Well, that sounds like you've come to me to see that I do not prevent your murder.
Well, that's partly correct. I want to pay you, Mr. Vance, not to investigate my murder, if I'm killed.
I see. In other words, you don't want your murderer caught by me if he succeeds in eluding the police.
That's it exactly. He's clever, but you're clever too, Mr. Vance, and I don't want him caught.
Miss Peyton, this is the strangest proposition ever made to me. I'm sorry, I have to turn it down.
I was afraid you would, but there's no harm in trying.
Who is it you think will murder you?
Oh, no, Mr. Vance. After all, you wouldn't help me. Why should
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/GreatDetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.